way I'd like for you to help me tonight. If you're a guest here tonight, I always ask for help. So the way I'd like for you to help me tonight is to turn to your neighbor and say, "It's still true." Can you do that for me? Last Sunday, we gathered in this place and we were reminded from Scripture of a great promise. And that promise in Advent, folks, you can help me out with this. The message we took from here on Sunday was that you're in good hands. Nothing has changed about that. Nothing at all. Past 24 hours, I have had more cameras pointed in my direction since any other time in my life except senior prom, I think. And I've tried my best to have some coherent words for us in the midst of this tragedy in the life of our congregation. A number of people from our church and people from our community have reached out to me and sent me messages and said things like, "I so appreciated your words on the news. You said that that building is not the church. You said that the church was the people and the church will be stronger than ever." We even had one of our staff members who posted on social media that there was a fire at 2258 Woodruff Road, but the church is unharmed. And I believe that. I see that. I believe that with everything within me. Jesus never built a sanctuary without a brick and mortar, but he built a heck of a movement called church. And Advent, you are a part of that movement that will not be stopped. And we're still here. We've been through hard times before, and we'll go through hard times again. We're not going to go anywhere. We're going to stay right here. And if you pay attention, you can see that the church is unharmed in so many ways all around us that you can look around where you are right now. Yesterday, the church showed up. And yes, we shed tears together. But the church also showed up and mobilized with food and water and served the firefighters who were serving us. Yesterday afternoon, I got a message from one of our church leaders who said this: "While our sanctuary burned today, there were families living in safe homes who've been lifted out of homelessness, not because of our sanctuary, but because of our church. While our sanctuary burned today, work was being done preparing for March Mission Madness projects that will make places all around our community warmer and safer and drier. While our sanctuary burned today, there were children in Tanzania who went to preschool, a preschool that was built by our church. While our sanctuary burned today, there were people who received medical care in a clinic in Tanzania that was built by the hands of people from this church. The church, I saw the church show up this morning in this room right next door to us where they packed 180 backpacks full of food for children in 5 elementary schools who might not otherwise have food over the weekend. And then churches showed up tonight. That is the church. So it's absolutely true that the church is not a building. The church is a living, breathing organism carrying on the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we aren't going anywhere and we're not stopping. But I will tell you that today I have worried about those words that I said on camera yesterday, because even though I know those words are true, I don't want anybody in this family to feel guilty for the very real grief you feel, we feel, over the loss of our sanctuary. The pain is real. We've laughed and we've cried together in that sanctuary. We've gathered around this table and shared our sacred meal together in that sanctuary. We've commissioned thousands of missionaries from our family to go out into the world to serve in Jesus' name in that sanctuary. We've baptized babies and adults in that sanctuary. Couples have been married in that sanctuary. We celebrated the lives of our saints in that sanctuary. In the midst of it all, we have experienced the living God who met us in that sanctuary. So yeah, we're going to grieve. It hurts. It's absolutely normal that we would grieve. But we will not grieve as those who have no hope. Even as we grieve, we remember that we are resurrection people and we always have hope. You know, as we reminded this past Sunday, our scripture, you're in good hands. We're in good hands. Nothing happened yesterday to change that. Even in the darkest valley, God is with us. Jesus promised never to leave us and never forsake us. That promise hasn't changed because of yesterday. We're in good hands. And God even gave us a tangible reminder of that. Even though much of the roof of our sanctuary burned yesterday, this cross that was hanging, suspended from the ceiling, survived. Now, it's a little blackened. It doesn't smell all that great right now. It's a little misshapen and the wood is cracked. But this is a tangible reminder that God is never going to leave us. This cross hung in the original sanctuary that was built in 1988. It was moved to our new sanctuary in 2001 and has hung there ever since. It's kind of remarkable that Christians would adorn sanctuaries with crosses, actually, if you think about it. Because crosses were instruments of torture and death. This is the instrument on which our Savior was tortured and died. So you would think that followers of Jesus, lovers of Jesus, would detest the sight of a cross. But we don't. Because it's no longer for us a symbol of torture and death. Because God, our living God, would not let torture and death have the last word. Yes, Jesus died on this thing. But 3 days later, God raised him up to new life. God always brings light out of the darkness. God always makes a way where there is no way. And God always brings life out of death. And God will do that again. We were reminded on Sunday the famous words of Frederick Buechner. Resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing. Because all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. That doesn't mean that God caused yesterday's fire to happen. I don't believe that at all. But what I do believe is that God won't stop until He brings good from it. And all God's people said,
as people of faith, as the church, one of the ways that we acknowledge our faith is collectively affirming our faith, using the words of Christians across the world that they've been using for centuries. And so tonight I'm going to invite you to stand as we affirm our faith using a statement of faith from the United Church of Canada that we talked about just this Sunday, as we, the church, together affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we move into a time of prayer, I'm particularly aware of the necessity of silence in the midst of our words and our ramblings. And so as we gather in prayer, I'm going to offer a series of petitions, and then after each one, I'm going to pause and give the opportunity for you to offer your own silent prayers or for you to just sit and listen as God moves among us. And then I'll issue the bid, Lord, in your mercy, to which you can respond, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we read from Romans a few minutes ago that sometimes we don't know what to pray. And we admit that right now, we aren't completely sure what we need to pray for. We ask that you fill us with the peace of your Spirit that intercedes on our behalf and groans with us even as we weep. For we know that we come before you in grief. And although we know that the sanctuary was just a building, just brick and mortar, that sacred space witnessed so many significant events and life change. Walls and beams that served as tangible reminders of the things that took place there. So we are going to celebrate all of the ways that we encountered your grace in our sanctuary. We remember all the children and adults who were baptized, the hundreds of students who were confirmed, the couples who were married there, the mission teams commissioned, for the friendships that began within those walls, and for the people who first heard their calling in that space, for the lives of all that were celebrated as fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, husbands and wives, as they joined the church triumphant, and in all of those ways that we experienced your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy, we also come before you in gratitude for all the ways that we've experienced your love and seen your light in the midst of tragedy. For the church members, for the grocery stores and the restaurants that brought and donated food to our staff and the firefighters yesterday. For the churches and other faith communities that have offered their love and support. For friends and family across the country and the world who continue to pray for us, we are grateful. Lord, in your mercy, we lift up to you first responders, and especially those in our community, and for the firefighters who are here most of the day and into the night putting out the flames of our sanctuary. God, we pray not only for them, but for their families who live with regular anxiety about the safety of their loved ones. And for the ways that they make such great sacrifice for the sake of the community. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for Trail, for all of the construction workers who've been at work on our campus. I can't imagine the burden that some of them are carrying. But God, we know that accidents happen and that your grace and your mercy is bigger than our brokenness, is bigger than any mistake. And so, God, we pray for those construction workers, and we ask that you would help them to experience your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our staff, for our church leaders. Guide us, strengthen us, help us to keep our eyes on you and on the calling you've placed upon us. Empower us to lead with grace and passion and focus. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, we pray for our church, for the Advent family. Help us to find the spaces we need in the coming days and weeks to grieve, but also fill us to overflowing with hope. For we are resurrection people, and we know that the worst thing is never the last thing. We don't believe that you cause bad things to happen, but we know you work to bring good in the midst of the storms. So don't let us miss the ways that you are at work all around us in this storm. Let this be an opportunity for us to grow in faithfulness, to grow as disciples, and use our witness to bring more people to you. Energize us so that we won't ever stop fishing. Our building, our campus, our lives belong to you. Use them. Use us for your glory. We pray all these things as community, as church, as the Advent family. As together we join our voices in praying the same words that our church has been praying for thousands of years. The Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.